So in the second reading, St. Paul tells us that we are all parts of the mystical body, which is the church. And so when we're baptized, we become living cells in that mystical body, which is the church. And he tells us that there, just as the body has many parts, but moves in a unity towards one end and one function, so it is with the church. And so it should be with the church. And then in the longer version of the reading, which we didn't read all the way through, you know, he talks about how, you know, the body can't be all eyes or all ears or all hands. We need all the different parts of our body for all the different things that need to be done. And so it is with the church. We have all the different individuals, the different talents and abilities and so on to fulfill different roles and missions within the church. And another great thing about being this mystical body of Christ, we're baptized into this mystical body with the three times the water goes over our heads at baptism. We're baptized into the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we enter into that paschal mystery. And that's how we really form that mystical body. And that's what makes us acceptable to God the Father, to be His adopted children, because in a certain way, we take on an aspect of Christ about us. And that's what makes us acceptable then in the eyes of the Father, in spite of original sin and other things. And so we're baptized into this mystical body. And then all of a sudden we have this first reading that's about Scripture. And it sounds nice, you know, Ezra goes and he stands on a stump in the public square and he's reading the Scripture. But to our sensibilities today, it doesn't sound like that big of a deal. I mean, why was everyone coming out there? Why all the laying on the prostrate on the ground and all this stuff? What caused all of that? Well, this was a huge breakthrough, what happened on that day, technologically and in a certain way spiritually, because up until this time, most writing, well, first of all, only 5 to 8% of society could read and write. So just to be able to have somebody read to you was a pretty big deal. But then almost all writing was done on stone tablets, on wooden tablets, and paper had been invented in Egypt sometime before, but just now it was starting to be a production of such that was being exported. And so it was becoming more available. And so now the idea that we could have things written on scrolls, and you could write a lot of things on this paper, and it wasn't like extremely heavy to carry around. And so this was a huge breakthrough, that now we could put lots and lots of information in a relatively small space and lightweight and take it around. And so now all the synagogues could have a copy of these scrolls. And that was huge. And Ezra had gotten together a whole group of scribes and had begun copying the sacred books onto the scrolls for their use. And so now they were starting to send these out. And so they had this sort of public reading as a celebration of that fact. And so that's what's going on here. And so it's Ezra and his school of scribes that sort of put together most of the Old Testament the way we know it today. And so it was just a huge breakthrough. And so these things are read and people hear it, and then it says they were moved to tears. And why were they so moved? Because it made them immediately think about, we are hearing the Word of God in a live voice, the same way Moses heard it on Mount Sinai, in those words. And so they're having this read to them, and they could see themselves on Mount Sinai, and it was like they were hearing, even though it was Ezra's voice, it was like they were hearing the Word of God, truly, alive. And that's what moved them to tears. And so we have all the novelty of the scrolls, and now they're going to be able to do this every week in their own synagogue and so on. And all of this was amazing for them. And of course, Nehemiah says that they should rejoice, that now they have this added aspect to their spiritual lives, this powerful aspect of the living Word of God among them. And so they should rejoice and have a great festivity. And so should we. Because it's the living Word of God that is the soul of the mystical body. So we're all cells in the body, but just as in our own bodies, when the soul separates from the body, that's what causes death. And so the soul is the unifying and directive factor in the body. So our thoughts, our will, all those are faculties of our soul. And so it's our soul that directs and unifies our body. And so it should be with the Word of God. The living Word of God is the soul of the mystical body that unites us, gives us purpose and mission as the mystical body of Christ. And so this is how these things start to come together. And then Jesus shows us in the gospel today how He is the fulfillment of the old covenant. He is the living Word of God. And that's why we always have a gospel reading at every Mass to connect to Jesus as that living Word of God. And so, wonderful things to think about. And then in this first part of the gospel, we hear about Theophilus. And so he was a very important civil dignitary in Asia Minor at the time of St. Luke, at the time of the apostles. And he had heard some things from St. Paul. St. Paul had gone through there. He'd heard some things from Apollos. Apollos had gone through there. And obviously talking to Luke, he's saying, well, you know, I'm a little bit confused. I've heard this and I've heard that. I'm not sure quite how it all fits together. And so Luke, in this opening paragraph, says, okay, Theophilus, I'm going to investigate this and write it all down for you in an ordered way. And so that's why he wrote his gospel. But not only did he give it to Theophilus, he gave it to all of us. We've all received the gospels of the Lord. And we should receive them in the same way as the people of the first reading, with great joy that the living Word of God can be with us and a part of us. And, you know, most of us probably do have a Bible at home. I hope so. And we can open that, and we can have that personal contact with the Word of God. And so now I'd like to call forth Bill Monty, who's going to talk about family promise in a couple of minutes.